Okay. So, basically, this is Angel and my podcast, Luna, for our poetry project. So, it's I'm Luna.
Paige.
I'm Angel Vences.
And Logan.
And then we're going to be talking about the poem, The Whipping by Robert Hayden. And the big question, I guess, that addresses the poem or like life itself is basically the cycle of child abuse. So some background of the poem first, well, not the poem, but the poet is basically Robert Hayden's most famous poem is Those Winter Sundays, which is basically about the relationship between a father and his son. And yeah, so let's start the poem discussion. So we'll be reading the poem first. The old woman across the way is whipping the boy again and shouting to the neighborhood her goodness and his wrongs. Wildly, he crashes through the elephant ears, pleads in dusty zinnias, while she, in spite of crippling fat, pursues and corners him. She strikes and strikes the shrilly circling boy till the stick breaks. In her hand, his tears are rainy weather to wound-like memories.
My head gripped in bony bias of knees, the withering struggle to wrench free, the blows, the fear, words that blows that hateful, words could bring the face that I no longer knew or loved. Well, it is over now. It is over. And the boy sobs in his room, and the woman leans muttering against the tree, exhausted, purged, avenging the part of lifelong hiding she has to bear.
So the themes that we found was, you know, like we said earlier, child abuse, the cycle of child abuse and how
it's a cycle between two parties and how it affects both.
Mm-hmm. And usually the assailants or the assaulters are basically the victims at one point in their life.
So to them, it's they're doing what they were done to them, that has been done to them. It's kind of a way to show that I did, it happened to me, might as well happen to you as well.
No, yeah. And then some poetry techniques or devices that were used were basically imagery, which was, you know, the biggest part of the poem.
And like some examples of that would be when they were talking about the child in his room, or basically talking about how the child had his head against his knees, and also when the lady was muttering against a tree. It allows you to imagine what they were feeling at the moment, as the boy was crying and the woman just felt as if she did what had to be done.
And then all of this, basically the imagery does support how, you know, child abuse mostly looks like, and it's not just physical as well, it's also verbal, mental, emotional. And you can see the portrayal in the poem. So, what connections did we make and what does it make us think about? Personally, I think I brought in these people because they all have connections to child abuse at some point.
We've all been a victim, either physical, verbal, or just mentally. So, we felt like it was connected to this poem in a way that we understand the struggles that both parties have gone through, either one of us has, well, most of us have been abused, or we knew an abuser that was abused themselves.
So Logan, how did that impact your life?
Well, it started with, like, I love my mom so much, so I thought she could do no wrong, and I had no idea that she was contributing to my abuse. She was enabling her boyfriend, who was proven to be very verbally and mentally abusive, and it took a toll on my emotions, on my motivations for class. When I was in school, I wanted to hide away. I didn't want to talk to anybody, but I knew if I didn't get that social interaction that a kid usually wants, he would regret it later. So I tried my best to be happy outside of school and mask that feeling. But upon like leaving the abusive household, I'm doing better now, but I do sometimes struggle with, like, finding my self-worth and knowing what I'm capable of, you know? If I'm capable of love or being loved, per se. So, yeah.
For me, it's that my mom was abused as a child with her father, and since they are immigrants from Mexico, my grandfather had a standard that he wanted them all to uphold, but he didn't even uphold it himself, but he had abused both my uncles and my tías. And my mother, out of being a child of six, was the only person to pass on that, not the idea of abuse was to make a person better. So when it came down to my siblings, I was the only one out of seven, I would say seven, that wasn't physically abused as my other siblings were, but we were put at this high pedestal in her head that if we weren't at her standard or if we were to anger her, she was to teach us that we shouldn't mess with her. I wasn't physically assaulted by my mother a lot. There was moments where I would, you know, have a moment where my face would get hit. But I was verbally very abused and mentally. And I have witnessed my own siblings being abused by my mother as well. And I have come forward to not forgive my mother, but to understand that
it's like something you can't change.
You can't change. And I still talk to her to this day. It's been for the first time out of 5 years. But it's, with this poem, it's, you easily connected to her. She learned it from her father, and she thought what she was doing was normal and it was okay, even though it wasn't. And at this moment in time, she's old. We can't really hold her against her anymore. Well, we can, but what is it to hold against? She's like in her 50s and she's kind of dying, so.
Well, Paige and I basically have the same family. We're from the same dad. And, well, I don't know what my sister has experienced in her life regarding child abuse. But personally, like, I have never been abused physically or emotionally or things like that. Sure, my parents have been rude and mean to me, but you know, that's just parents. But my parents have decided to end the cycle of child abuse with me because they understood that that's not the life they wanted for me, and they personally experienced that they didn't want that in my life. And basically, as an experience, Paige, so
like Luna said, we are sisters, different moms. We do have the same family, but different experiences. My take on the poem, I mean, I feel like there's abuse in different ways. You can be dealing with the parent that has mental disorder and can cause abuse to the children, not meaning to, but it still affects us as we get older. I did have a step-parent that was bipolar and did show a lot of abuse in the household. I just feel like that's the way I can relate to the story. I'm not going to get into details, but yeah.
I think not only does it impact our lives personally, but I feel like it impacts a lot of our friends or family members, you know, people that we know that we're not close to as well. You know,
you truly never know who's going through what in their lives. As in the poem, it's obvious that this child is being abused publicly in front of people, but usually a lot of abuse is at home, behind closed doors, never in front of others, never seen by other people. It's always hidden behind a closed door. So that's one thing that
like that we probably will never understand unless it happens to ourselves, basically, I guess. I mean, I feel like, you know, Angel and Logan have said, you know, they've experienced it in some way, but you know, I will never understand, you know, what's happened to them because it has never happened to me. You know, I can offer my sympathy and my empathy, but I can never be put in their shoes, you know, personally.
And the thing about, like, how it affects, like, kids specifically in my experience, when I was at home, I was getting abused, I was getting yelled at, or being told that I was in a plethora of uncalled for rude names that I don't want to say, but, I didn't want to miss out on an opportunity, like, when I say, like, when I was at school, like, I didn't want to be like, oh my god, like, woe is me. I wanted to have fun and have, like, that sense of a normal childhood. So I took every moment of, like, or every opportunity that I could get at being, like, a normal kid or having, like, normal activities, having friends and, like, laughing with them. And I think that's kind of scary when I think about it now, because up until my senior year or this year, I hadn't really told, like, teachers or, like, not authorities, but, like, people who had the power to make change in my life about my abuse, other than just me and my sisters. But, yeah.
For me, it's the... for me, it wasn't just, like, one parent. It was both my father and mother. My father wasn't, like, abusive. He was neglectful, which is, in its own way, a form of child abuse. So I never really witnessed my mother's abuse because I didn't live with her for the first half of my life. I was with my father. But I witnessed other forms of abuse with neglect and how people could one moment be, like, the best and greatest person you've ever known to how they could change in just a minute. And then when I finally moved with my mother, I witnessed other forms of abuse with her, with verbal and just emotional. And I never really let it show it out in public because I saw with my own siblings that it was best to hide it because no one would really do anything from their experience. Or it's just that our mother just had a way of persuading people that to look the other direction when it happened. So I never really allowed her to show in front of others. I never told teachers, never told adults. And when I did tell adults, it was always in passing because I myself got out of the situations between both my father and mother, and I no longer live with them. So I never really faced those type of stuff anymore. And both my father and mother have grown. My father no longer does said things, and my mother doesn't either, but in time it's all just age, and when they realize they have no children to teach, there's no longer their business to do anything.
I think there's a lot of things to take away from abuse, like specifically, like, if you plan on having kids yourself, if you've experienced, like, firsthand abuse, you know, like, the signs and you know what not to do. Hopefully you learn from your parents' mistakes, and you know that establishing, like, a certain form of, like, trust or a bond with your kid is, like, one of the most important things, along with communication. Because if a child feels like they can't communicate a problem with you, then you'll feel distant. And then, like, it's just kind of, like, sucky for everyone in that situation.
The big idea that came out of this is that abuse is a cycle that is able to be broken as long as the person finds help or finds a form of help. Either with therapy or talking to somebody that may not be a professional therapist. But the main idea is that, yes, abuse is a cycle, but it's a cycle that could be broken. And that people shouldn't have to face such horrors, such as abuse, either from parents or from neighbors or from grandparents to...
From anyone in general.
From anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard to find out, it's hard to speak up, because in the end, these are people that you see as parents or friends or people that you're close with, and it's hard to...
come to the realization that what they're doing is wrong. Well, parents specifically.
And I feel like it's easier for those to find help once they figure out they have a support system, like friends they can talk to, you know, elderly people they can talk to, people who are in authority that they're comfortable with and all that, you know. But... yeah, this is pretty much the end of our podcast. So thanks everyone for coming.
Of course.
But yeah, thanks.
Bye.